Praise the Lord. It's not just that he has done great things. He's doing great things. I like it when the apostle said he hath delivered, he is delivering, and he shall deliver. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to, in just a moment, turn the... Nate's not with you tonight, is he? Well, we'll have to hold off in introducing our new married couple, so we wouldn't just introduce half of it. So, amen. Praise God. I believe through the preaching of the word and this altar service tonight, some eternal things are going to take place in our hearts. I know you appreciate Brother and Sister Estes, but won't you just show your appreciation to them as they come to take the service tonight?
Bless you, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Love the Lord tonight. And I believe God's doing some great things, don't you? Amen. I thank the Lord. And here's how I've prayed it this week. Lord, I pray for fruit and fruit that remains. You know, I've seen it, you know, revival and evangelists. One man said, you know, they blow in, blow up, and blow out. And it's all over, said and done. But wouldn't it be great to know that even after revival's over with, things just kept on moving, and thank God kept on blessing, and people kept on getting closer to the Lord, and it just got better and better. And you know, we judge revival in different ways, I'm sure, but here's one of the ways that I believe would truly say, oh God, you have given us a great revival, is if 2 weeks or a month, 2 months down the road, I were to call your pastor and say, hey, how's it going, brother? Him say, oh, Brother Estes, man, it's better than it's ever been. It's just got better and better. When you left, it just got better and better. You know, if we knew it was going to get this good after you left, we'd ask you to leave sooner. Just, you know, whatever it takes. Amen. And I do want to say how much I appreciate the time that I've got to spend with your pastor and his family. I just enjoyed it so much. Enjoyed the conversation. You know, I don't want to get too detailed here, but there's some places you go where, I mean, you kind of walk away from there wondering, does that shepherd really care for his sheep? Now, that's about all. That's as deep as I'll go into that. But I can assure you, just spending time with your pastor, this is a pastor that cares. This is a pastor that you can tell by the conversation, the tone of conversation, the direction of conversation. It's never a negativity. It's never a, let's see, you know, what we can say bad. No, no, it's always an encouraging, always edifying. You know, and I appreciate being around people like that. I really do. There are some people, I mean, they have an anointing to drag folks down, huh? One man said they would complain if their ice cream was cold. Hallelujah. But I like people that still believe that God's doing great things. And there are people that are hungry for the Lord. And there are people thirsty for God. And I appreciate that so much. Thank you, Brother Hurst. Thank you, Sister Hurst. Thank you for everything. Thank you, church. Truly, again, thank you for your sacrifice and your offerings. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for producing a great evangelist wife. By the way, I can't say that to every church. Man, I can say that here. I'm going to throw that in while I'm here. Thank you. Wow. Great job. I do appreciate that. Amen. Erica, do you feel like singing or testifying or anything tonight? What? Okay, that'd be great. Why don't you bring up the girls? We'll let Shay hold this one out, okay? Maybe next time around. Appreciate a good mother-in-law. I really do. Amen. Hey. I told him, I said, you know, there's some folks out there, they make mother-in-law jokes. I don't make mother-in-law jokes. I don't. I said, but them father-in-law jokes, man, it's open season. It's not fair. He's not here. That's what Brother Brad said. He's listening right now, and he's thinking of what to say whenever I see him at the house. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. shepherd meal with him. God knew how to change their dinner plans. Never throw a hungry lion in a den with a praying man. Come on, pray, Daniel, pray. That's the way you make it through. Come on, pray, Daniel, pray. Don't you let the devil get the best of you. First starts flying, they will understand. Never throw a hungry lion in a den with the praying man. So pray, Daniel, pray. That's the way make it through. Come on, pray, Daniel, pray. Don't you let the devil get the best of you. Your troubles aren't as bad as you thought they were.
My little girls. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, please. The book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 6. Appreciate the musicians this week. Haven't got a chance to say that. Appreciate your associate pastor as well, Brother Brian and his wife. I don't think I've had an opportunity to mention that this week, and I appreciate his friendship throughout the years. Appreciate his family. God's doing some great things. You know, so much of it has what to do with what you decide to focus on. I heard a little poem. I was in my young 20s. That one little poem really had a great effect on my life. It simply said, two men stood behind bars. One saw mud, the other stars. A lot of it deals with how you look at it, doesn't it? So in times where things are upside down, in times where it seems like every church on every corner is dry as cracker juice, as one man said, friend, there's still a God that pours out His Spirit. And if you're hungry for Him, you can find Him. If you're thirsty for Him, you can grab a hold of Him. I want to preach tonight in Matthew 6 and verse number 9. Word of God reads like this. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't know how you get around it. I don't know how you circumvent it. I don't know how you avoid it. But very simply and plainly put, an unforgiving spirit is unforgivable. And I believe God wants to help someone tonight. I believe God wants to set somebody free. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord had helped me and the Holy Ghost would anoint me, simply on this thought, there's freedom in forgiveness. There's freedom in forgiveness. You going to help me tonight? I believe you will. Would you slip up your hand to heaven and help me pray that God's hand would be upon the remainder of this service, Father? I bless you, Jesus. What a mighty God that we do serve. And Lord, the same God that can touch Daniel in a lion's den is the same God that can touch us tonight. And we need the help and hand of the living God. I pray, God, do a deep work around these altars tonight. I pray, God, give us fruit and fruit that remains. I'm asking you in the name of the Lord that the hand of the living God would come by and minister to every soul under the sound of my voice. For this I give you glory and honor and praise in the lovely holy name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Would you turn around and shake somebody's hand as you're being seated? Smile at them and tell them, I'm glad to see you tonight in God's house. Beloved, hear me tonight. There are two great enemies that come against the soul of man. Number one, guilt. And number two, bitterness. And the amazing portion of scripture that we read about tonight deals with them both. Deals with guilt and bitterness. Father, forgive us of our sins. That's the guilt. Even as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. That is the bitterness. And beloved, hear me. When you forgive another, you set a prisoner free. Only to find out that prisoner was yourself. Say amen. Beloved, hear me. When we forgive another, it will literally cost you something. There's no such thing as a freedom. There's no such thing as forgiveness without there being a cost, something to it. When Jesus, he forgave us freely of our sins, but there was Calvary that you have to look at, beloved. Friend, if you're going to forgive somebody else, it will literally cost you something. You may have to take the low road. You may have to have your ego squashed just a little bit, but beloved, it is worth it to live in freedom and to know that just as God forgave you, you can forgive another and you can live in peace and joy, and you don't have to stay in the prison of bitterness for what somebody else did to you. Say amen. When an unforgiving heart stays unforgiving, they literally pay a prison sentence for the crime of somebody else. It's what somebody else did that you're living in that prison over. It's how somebody else acted that now you're bound by it. It should not be, beloved. The answer is still old-fashioned forgiveness. Amen. I remind you, friend, when you forgive, you pay. Imagine if I would borrow $1,000 from Brother Brian, and I looked at Brother Brian, and I said, Brother Brian, listen, I don't have that $1,000. Will you forgive me? And he looks at me and he says, Brother Estes, I forgive you of that $1,000. Now you understand, Brother Brian had to pay that $1,000. There's no such thing as a, quote, free lunch. Say amen. Somebody has to pay. Isn't it amazing? We live in a society that wants to get everything they can for free, but is never willing to give out anything at all. I mean, it's give me, give me, give me every ounce, every opportunity. More than me, more toward me. I mean, you just redistribute somebody else's wealth and give it to me, but don't ever ask me to give out anything. Well, that same mentality has marched itself inside of the church, and we come and sit on the pew, and we wonder how many wonderful ways is God going to bless me, and how many wonderful ways is God going to touch me? But it doesn't just work like that, because not only should it be the Lord touching you, but it should be men and women that says, God, let me forgive another and let me live like Jesus. Hey, beloved, when could we be any more like God's son than when we forgive? You say, well, I'm like Jesus when I praise him. No, you're not. You're giving him adoration. But friend, you are like Christ when you forgive.
Oh, I know it's not a subject we want to deal with tonight, but beloved, hear me. We need to talk about it, because whether we realize it or not, an unforgiving spirit is unforgivable, and an unforgiving spirit disgraces the Father. We have to have a forgiving spirit, because if we don't, it'll disgrace the Father. Now there again, let me just talk about my kids tonight. My children, not yours. Yours are angels. Let me use mine for a moment, okay? Why is it, Brother Brian, why is it that there can be such harmony, unity, tranquility amongst those children, and then all of a sudden somebody pushes that doorbell and this change comes over their life, and next thing you know, the children that had such unity and such, all of a sudden it's mine, me, take it, no, and I mean, just 5 minutes ago they were wonderful, and now that you got company, what's wrong? There again, mine, not yours. And you as a father, you sit there and you kind of smile and you make those little corny excuses. Well, kids, you know, just kids, you know. But down deep on the inside as a father, it disgraces you to know that someone that bears your last name cannot walk together in harmony. Someone that bears your last name cannot live together in harmony, friend. If it would disgrace an earthly father, I can assure you it would disgrace a heavenly father. Friend, it disgraces the heavenly father. It delights the devil when men and women don't forgive one another. The devil is delighted. Hey, beloved, it disgraces the Father. It delights the devil. It discourages the saints. When there's unforgiveness that walks in those doors, it does have an effect on how you worship. When there's unforgiveness between husband and wife, it does have an effect on whether or not you can get in the service. I know we like to march in here and think that it doesn't, but friend, it doesn't work like that. An unforgiving heart, a relentlessly unforgiving soul, is always affected inside the house of God. I believe the Lord gives us reasons. I believe there are compelling reasons why we should forgive, why we should be like Jesus, why we should fulfill what this great prayer tells us to fulfill. I believe there's a grace factor. I believe a grace factor tells you and me we should forgive because we've been forgiven. I mean, he forgave me. Now this is a verse that we like to say at the Estes home. Girls, if I were to ask you to say it, could you say Ephesians 4:32? And be ye kind one toward another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what the word says. And believe me, we've had to say that many times. I mean, say amen. We got to forgive one another, girls. Friend, I have to forgive because I have been forgiven. Sometimes when people are unwilling to forgive another, what the real problem is they forgot where God brought them from, and they forgot what God brought them out of, and they think somehow or another, just because I've been to church a while, I've been to church all my life. No, ma'am, no, sir. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you, whether you was 8 or 18 or 58. Beloved, Jesus forgave you. And because you've been forgiven, you've got to forgive others. An evangelist of yesteryear, Sam Jones, he made this statement. I wrote it down. He said, I had a hard time forgiving people until I made up my mind I wasn't going to have a falling out with anyone until he treated me worse than I treated Jesus. Oh, think about that, friend. There's nobody in this house you've been treated worse than how you treated Jesus before you got saved. Oh, come on, don't look at me so sanctified here tonight. It wasn't Jews that put him on that cross. It wasn't Roman guards that nailed him to that cross. It was the sin of humanity. It was my sin. It was your sin. He willingly died for the sin of humanity. He never sinned, but he became sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God. Friend, it was because of my wrong, because of my sin, because of my transgression that he went to Calvary. And I've never met a man that I've ever treated worse, and I've never met a man that ever loved me any more than Jesus. Than Jesus. He willingly forgave. He willingly forgave. He willingly forgave. I mean, I'd hate to let this out, So let's just keep this right here, okay? I mean, don't ever tell a soul. I think it'll ruin me, Brother Adams, if this ever got out, okay? But there was a time. There was a time in my life. Brother Hurst, I was so angry. I was so bitter. I was so mad that there was a man I lied on. You, Brother Estes, know it gets worse, son. Because not only did I lie on this man, I hate to admit this tonight, I spit on that grown man. You, Brother Estes, you seem like a halfway dignified young man. You wouldn't do that. Wait a second, it gets worse. Because not only did I lie on him, buddy, not only did I spit on him, I took thorns and put in that man's head. And I put nails in that man's hand. Hey, don't back up on me yet. Because the same man that I did it to is the same man that you did it to. It was God's darling son. Look at how we treated him. And look at how he treated us. Are you hearing me tonight? The only answer is to forgive. Why should I forgive? Because I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. He willingly forgave. He wantingly forgave for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. What was that joy? Was heaven going to be a bigger heaven? Was heaven going to be a better heaven? No. I'm that joy. You're that joy. That's the joy. He says, I'm going to go to the cross. Just maybe Brad will one day be my friend. Just maybe Brian one day will be my friend. Just maybe one day Zane will be my friend. That's the joy. It was set before him. It was you. It was me. Somebody. God is saying, amen. We should forgive because we've been forgiven. We should forgive because there's a guilt factor. And the guilt factor says, if I don't forgive, that's unforgivable. Help me, Lord. I don't know if we really understand the power of verse number 12 when we read it. It's the Lord's Prayer. Well, technically we would call it the disciples' prayer, but we'll get into that for another theological discussion. But the Lord looks at him and he says this, forgive us our debts. And then there's one little word, as we forgive our debtors. Literally, Lord, forgive me just like I'm forgiving them. And every time you've prayed that prayer, that's exactly what you've said to God. You've said, God, here's what I want you to do, Lord. I want you to treat me just like I'm treating them.
Lord, forgive me
as I forgive them. Lord, forgive me just like I forgive them. And Brother Hurst, I've heard him say before, but that's just, I'll forgive them, but I'll never talk to them again. Could you imagine if God looked at you and said, okay, I forgive you, but I will never speak to you again. I'll never talk to you. There ain't a soul in this house that would ever want the Lord to say that to us. Why would we say that to another? Brother, that's just, I'll forgive them. I can tell you one thing. Anytime they call, they can hang it up. I'm not about to answer their call. Now I realize, time out, I realize sometimes we're busy and things get tied up. But you know when it's a matter of the heart. You know when it's a matter of the heart and you say, I ain't about to talk to that person. I'm not about to talk to that soul. Lord, could you ever imagine if Jesus said the same thing to you and they say, well, Brother Estes, I mean, I come and I pray and I call on the Lord and it just seems like God won't answer when I call. Why won't God answer when I call? Has it ever crossed your mind that the reason God won't answer when you call is because you don't answer when they call? But come on here, forgive us. Forgive me. Lord, treat me like I'm treating them. We got to get serious about this business of forgiveness. We got to get serious about this business of letting it go. When you forgive another, you're not saying what they did was right. That's not what you're saying. and you forgive another, you're not saying, I hope they do it to somebody else. That's not what you're saying. When you forgive another, you're saying, Lord, I'm tired of living in a prison for their crime. Oh God, we need to forgive because we've been forgiven. We need to forgive because if I don't forgive, it's unforgivable. We need to forgive because if we don't forgive, there could be personal harm that comes to our own life. What do you mean by that, Brother Estes? Friend, you can hold such a bitter grudge against other people and it can literally cause physical ailments to come into your life. Friend, somebody say, well, I ain't worried about it. That's not what that ulcer is telling us. That's not what that sleepless night is telling us. That's not what that stress is telling us. Your body is having a reaction to what's going on inside of your soul. I'm not going to let them off the hook. I'm telling you what, I'm going to get even with them. Wait a second. You're going to get even with them? Wait. You're going to get even? You're right here. They're down here. And you're going to get even with them? I once read where there was an evangelist of yesteryear, and she'd been going different places and ministering, and there was a lot of lies and rumors spread on her. And a lawyer approached her. Brother Adams, he said, now listen, we know these are lies. If you'll just give me permission, we'll sue the fire out of him. We'll make you tons of money. Your name will be clean. Just give me a sign on the line. I'll take care of it from there. And she looked back at the lawyer and she said, no. He said, why? Don't you know what they've done to you? And she said, yes. But when I was a little girl, I read where a dog barked at the queen. I never read where the queen barked at the dog. Say amen. There's just some, come on here. When you start throwing mud, both of you get dirty. When you really get down there and start throwing mud, both of you come filthy. You got to live above it. You got to forgive and keep going on with God. There's too many big things God's got ahead of you. There's too many blessings God's got ahead of you. There's too many doors God's got ahead of you. And if all you do is scrap down here and fight down here and bark down here, friend, you're living just like they're living. You need to show them a better route. You need to show them a bigger route. You need to show them a greater way. You need to live like Jesus.
I mean, can you imagine? You know the story. Here is a woman. She's caught in the very act of adultery. And all of a sudden, Jesus begins to write in that sand. We focus so much on Jesus writing in that sand. But there's a little scripture in there that speaks about, and they start railing, but he, as though he hears them not. It's literally like he just puts cotton in his ears as if to say, you're not going to sidetrack me. Could you imagine? Here they are, and they start talking about, we know who our Father is. Now, I don't have time getting all that, but if you're to really dive into that portion of Scripture, friend, you know what they're saying to Jesus. They're saying, I know who my dad is. You don't have a clue who yours is. You're an illegitimate, and they're saying things that you wouldn't want to say. And could you imagine if Jesus raised up and said, what did you just say about me? Could you imagine if he shook his fist and he says, do you know who my Father is? He may win that battle, but there's a lady with a lost soul, and he realizes there's a bigger battle at hand. You can get silent. Track on things that don't mean anything.
Some people are not nearly as worried about what's right as they are who wins. Ouch. Oh, you ever felt it when you just kind of, you ever felt that? I said some people aren't nearly as worried about what's right as who wins. Who won the argument? Oh God, both of you lost. Both of you lost. Friend, life's too short not to realize there are some requirements we have to forgive. Friend, there are costly requirements. How are we to forgive, Brother Estes? We are to forgive just as our maker, our model, our mentor, our master forgave. We are to forgive freely. When it comes to you forgiving another,
You don't do it in segments and portions. You forgive just like Jesus forgave. Again, Ephesians 4 and 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now it comes sometimes when people say, you want me to forgive you? You want me to forgive you? You've got to be. You can't be. Me forgive you? Me forgive you? Yeah! You want that? Here. Take it. I forgive you. Take it.
And they say, no. You've already ruined me. You've tore my name to pieces. That's okay. Friend, you don't forgive like that. You forgive like Jesus forgave you. Could you imagine if when you went down to that altar, oh, wait a second. Could you imagine if when you went down to that altar that one time after you got saved, remember that one time you had to go after you got saved?
Sure you do.
And it's been more than once. Don't look at me so sanctified. Could you imagine what it would have been like if Jesus would have looked back at you and said, you did what? You said what? How could you? I trusted you. I gave my life for you, and this is how you... I can't handle this kind of stuff. I tell you what. Okay, you're not forgiven. You're on probation.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Give me about 3 months. You let me cool off. And you better hope to God you don't die in the next 3 months, because if you do, you'll bust hell wide open with that sin on your life. I'm not forgiving you tonight. Could you imagine if that's what Jesus said to you? Friend, that's not what come on here. When you went down to that altar, you said, Lord, I need you to forgive me now. Now, I realize we're not talking about places of leadership. I realize there's a discipline inside of a church. But friend, on a personal level, I said on a personal level, we've got to learn to let it go. When they are willingly and turned ready to forgive, we got to be willing to let it go.
Call time out right here real quick, because I've had people say to me before, they said, "No, brother Estes, I've forgiven them, but every now and again it pops up in my mind. Does that mean I haven't forgiven them and forgotten? Does that mean I haven't forgiven them? Because every now and again it comes up in my mind." Well, real quick, pull up a chair. Let me tell you something real quick. You do realize Jesus never learns anything, and he never loses anything. If he does, he'll change, and God doesn't change. So when we talk about forgiving and forgetting, it's not in the same sense like, oh, I forgot where I put my keys. I forgot where my cell phone is. That literally, to forget and to forgive and to forget would mean to hold it against you no longer. To simply hold it against you no longer. So when you forgive another, friend, there's a world of difference between it popping up right here and it settling down right here. Every now and again it might come to that mind, but that doesn't mean it's inside of that heart. I forgive them and hold it against them no longer. Satan may try to bring it up. Memories may try to come and make it come back, but in the name of Jesus, I forgive. In the name of the Lord, I forgive. In the name of the Lord, I'm free. In the name of the Lord, it's finished. Can you say amen?
Just because it comes up in that brain doesn't mean it's got to dwell in that heart. Oh, and by the way, here's the real test of have you let it go. If you want to know whether or not you've really let it go, ask yourself this question: do you keep bringing it up? If you keep bringing it up, you haven't let it go. I said, if you keep bringing it up, you've never let it go. if it keeps coming back up in conversation, it keeps coming back up over that dinner table, if it keeps coming back up in front of those children, and God help you not to poison your children, if it keeps coming back up around other family members, if it keeps coming back up around the neighbors, there's something still in that heart that you haven't turned over to the Lord, and it's time to turn it over to Jesus tonight. I said it's time to turn it over to the Lord tonight. I'm not saying they were right. I'm not saying you ever want to see it happen again, but it's time you let Jesus take that out of your soul, take that out of your spirit, and give you a peace that you haven't had in a long, long time. Oh, by the way, just because somebody does something to you, you realize you're not biblically required to do the same thing to them. It's not a requirement in the Bible. I once heard of a story how during the war between the states, President Jefferson Davis looked at General Robert E. Lee and he asked him, he said, "What do you think about," and he named another high-ranking officer in the Confederate Army. And Mr. Lee looked back at President Davis and he said, "Sir, he's a gifted soldier. He's a brave man. He is very competent under pressure." And about that time, a lieutenant that was standing next to Mr. Lee held him by the arm for just a moment and said, "Sir, do you not realize that the man that you praise is your worst critic? And you cannot but move without him saying something against you." And Mr. Lee shook his head and said, "I realize this well, but Mr. Davis did not ask what he thought of me. He asked what I thought of him." Hallelujah. What do you think about so-and-so? He's a good man. He's a provider. He takes care of his family. Hey, beloved, you don't have to render evil for evil, but you can overcome evil with good. Can somebody say amen? Give us hearts, God. I'm closing. Give me just a couple minutes. We're to forgive freely. We're to forgive fully. Let it go. Turn it over. Cut it off. Quit bringing it up. Live life like Jesus wants you to. I'm talking to somebody. We come in service after service and we say, "Oh God, what can you do and can you forgive me?" And we need those things, friend. But I'm telling you, God's talking to somebody tonight. And it's not so much does God need to forgive you. God's saying, do you need to forgive someone else? I heard about a business owner. And the secretary come to him and said, "Sir, we've got files on everything. We have files on dead people. We have files coming out our ears. We don't need all these files." Brother Steve, that businessman shook his head. He said, "You know what?" He said, "You're right. I tell you what, shred them. Shred them all. Shred every paper. Shred every document. Shred them." "Oh, but before you do, make sure I get a copy of everything." And that's how some people are when it comes to this altar. They shred them so long as somewhere on the back of their hard drive mind they got a copy. They got a copy. Hey, and if they need to, they'll pull up 1995. If they need to, we'll go. Hey, I'll go back to 1987. How about that? I'll pull up stuff the kids don't even know. Say amen to me, somebody. Beloved, hear me. If you don't turn it over and say, "God, delete this out of my soul," Satan has a way of letting that seed grow, and it grows bigger and bigger. And friend, like tentacles, it'll wrap itself around your heart, and it will not let go. You got to say, "Jesus, get every ounce, get every drop, get it all." Someone asked me last night, "Now, were your mom and dad, were they pastors?" I said, no, sorry. I love mom and my dad. I believe he made things right before he passed away. He passed away over 2 years ago now, a mesothelioma. But no, I didn't come from that kind of home. In fact, my folks busted up when I was about 26 years old. And you got to understand, I mean, okay, if you want to pull the whole moral thing, they were good moral people. Never drank. Never use slang words. Never, you know, dad wasn't no woman chaser, nothing like that. Just people had irreconcilable differences. And when I finally got down and started asking mom, Why? I mean, you got to understand, I was grown. Brother Cruz, I was grown out of the house. Why? I started hearing stuff like this. You know what? When you and your brother were just little boys, such and such, such and such, I'm thinking to myself, Mom, I don't even remember that. That's 25 years ago. That's 30 years ago. I was at a church one night. Holy Ghost, help me. I was at a church one night. Friday night, a revival. I walk in. It was on this side of the church. I start shaking hands, and there was an elder man there. His name was Nichols. I said, hey, Zane Estes. And he said, Nichols is my name, so-and-so Nichols. And all of a sudden, he starts going to this big, long spiel about his poor mother. Now, this man is in his mid-70s, I would say. And he starts crying about his poor mom. And then he starts talking about his terrible, cruel dad. And now he had to take his dad and pull his dad off of his mom. And he had to start beating up on his own dad because his dad was beating up on his mother. And the man literally starts breaking down right there on the pew before service, sobbing like a five-year-old child. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, he's in his 70s. His mom and dad have got to be in their 90s. What's going on? After the service was over, I asked the pastor, I said, I got a question for you. I saw a man tonight. His name was Nichols. He looked back at me and said, Brother Zane, did he tell you about his mother? I said, yes. How did you know that? He said, Brother Estes, that's all he ever talks about. That happened when he was 15 years old. His dad was drunk, started beating up his mom. He started beating up his dad, and the man still lives in that torment. You say, dear mercy, that's 60 years ago. No, not for him. It happens every single morning. It happens every afternoon. It happens every night. He relives it every day. He goes through the same trauma because he won't let Jesus help him let it go. Ain't a soul in here that says what that man did to that wife was right. Ain't nobody condoning that. But I'm telling you, for Mr. Nichols and for some of you, you live it every day. You live it every day. It comes up every day. You walk through it every day. It still burns in your heart. I'm talking to somebody in this house. You got to forgive freely. You have to forgive fully. You have to say enough is enough. I'm not going to live in this prison any longer. For I am able to heal you, saith the Lord. I am able to heal the wound that no one else sees. I am able to heal that which hurts on the very inside of your soul, saith the Lord. If you would but come unto me, you shall find rest. And I shall give you the strength. And you shall walk in freedom once again, saith the Lord. If ye are yet willing to turn it over. And to forsake it. And to let me live my life through you. As I desire. Saith the Lord. Somebody slip your hands up to heaven tonight. Harry, help me, honey. Come up to this piano. Help me here. I got more to say, but that's as far as I need to go tonight. That's as far as I need to go tonight. Oh, Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. I'm not saying they were right. I'm not saying I ever want to see it happen to another soul. But how many years are you going to serve in prison for what somebody else did? Here's what Jesus said he came to do. He came to set the captive free. He came to heal wounds. He said to us tonight, heal wounds on the inside. Thank you, Jesus. And you say, now, Brother Zane, I can't do that. I can't do that. Let me tell you something, friend. On your own, you're right. But through Him, you can. It's not you looking yourself in the mirror and hopefully that you can psychologically stir yourself up to the point where you... God's word said in Philippians 2 and 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do, to will and to do of His good pleasure. If I were to try to alliterate that, I would simply say, it's God that'll give you the desire. It's God that'll give you the dynamics. Now, friend, there's already one that's come, but there's others in their pew tonight. And you've spent too long in a cage. You've spent too long in a prison. You spent too long reliving things that needed to be under the blood a long time back. And there's a God in this house that's more than willing to touch your life tonight. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one else looking around, Brother Estes, I need God's help tonight. I need God's help to forgive another. I need strength from God to forgive. I need God's help to let some things go. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand to heaven tonight quickly and say, that's me. God bless you and you and you. That's many hands more than you would expect. God bless you, ma'am. God sees your hand. God bless you, son. God sees that. God bless you, sir. God sees that. That's you. I want you to start slipping up from where you're sitting right now. You slipped up your hand to heaven. This is not a general altar call yet, but God wants to help you in this house tonight. I want you to slip out from where you're sitting right now. I want you to come. I want you to come on and come. Get out of that comfort zone. Get out of that place and let God help you tonight. Friend, I promise you one thing. If you live long enough for Jesus, Jesus will give you an opportunity to be able to forgive somebody else. Things will be orchestrated in your life that you never knew could come. And God's going to give you an opportunity to let something go that somebody else did to you. Come on, there were others that raised their hand. Maybe you did not raise your hand, but you feel compelled in your spirit right now. I want you to step out from where you're sitting. I want you to come. Let me tell you, friend, we've all had to battle at a time or two. Ain't nobody walking through here tonight without any dents in the armor. We've all had to deal with it. We've all had to face it. We have felt its chilly fingers scrape across our soul more than once. But God's in here to help you tonight. I don't care how old they were. I don't care how young they were. I don't care what position they held, how long they held it, or what everybody else thinks about them in the community. This is between you and the Lord tonight. Why don't you come? Go in once, quickly. Quickly, I'm going to have to call the net, but quickly. Come on, why don't you come? Is that it? Is that everybody that needs to be around here praying? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let it go. You got to turn it over to Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you don't, that thing takes root. And man, once it takes root, does it ever more grow? It'll overtake you. You'll go down the road and forget what exit you're supposed to take because your mind's so preoccupied with that. Oh, God. You should be sharing a wonderful moment with somebody that you love, but you can't even get it. You can't even find where you are because your mind's so preoccupied with something else. Going twice. Is that it? Is that everybody? Is that all that needs to be done here? Sold. Church, I want us to press in. I want us to find sisters. I want you to find some of these ladies to pray with. Brothers, I want you to find some of these men to pray with. I want you to pray alongside them and pray with them tonight. Friend, if you've ever been there and you've ever been cut deep, you know what they're facing. If you've ever put your confidence in someone that dropped you like a rock, oh God, you know what they're facing. If you've ever had to walk in there and knew that everything on the inside of you was shattered and hurting, you know what they're faced with tonight. And Isaiah said they'll awake with the tongue of the learned. You've learned what it's like.